The month of June has been hijacked by the anti-Christian culture to show their pride in something God calls an abomination. When you support AFR, you help us continue to stand for godly values and provide the resources for you to stay in the know about the enemy's tactics. To say thank you for your gift this month, we'll give you the booklet, Inside the LGBTQ Push of the 1990s, to help strengthen your convictions. Just go to afr.net/offers. afr.net/offers.
Darkness is not an affirmative force. It simply reoccupies the space vacated by the light.
This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
It should be uncomfortable for a believer to live as a hypocrite.
Delivering people out of the bondage of mainstream media
and the philosophies of this world.
God has called you and me to be his ambassadors, even in this dark moment. Let's not miss our moment.
And now, the Hamilton Corner.
Boy, oh boy, oh boy. Welcome to the Hamilton Corner. Good evening, everybody. Abraham Hamilton III is my name. I'm joined by the Corner Contingent. I guess I should mention I'm the host of this program. I'm joined by the Corner Contingent, as usual, right across from me, my man, 100 grand, Mr. Bobby Rosa. And in the screening room, our friendly neighborhood woodaholic, perpetually in recovery, lighting up the dark from there, none other than Mr. Marty Sparks, ladies and gentlemen. And be still our beating hearts. OKC are the champs, and in the studio we have Double R, ready to rock and roll with today's edition of the program. At this very moment, many of you, if not most of you, are making your transition to your from your part-time jobs where you generate an income to your full-time jobs where you cultivate an outcome. Boy, today is a day where outcome cultivation and the significance of that reality has just been underscored in our nation. I actually went home thinking about this after we got off the air last night, about what the nomination for the Democrat Party's mayoral candidate for the New York City race could mean if the Democrats actually voted for Zoran Mamdani. I've been thinking about that, and here we are. Though you had the much maligned multi-term governor of the state of New York from the famed or infamous New York Cuomo family dynasty, who was up 70 points in the Democrat primary, yet loses to Zoran Mamdani, also known as Mr. Cardamom. Y'all don't know about that part. Mr. Cardamom. Zoran Mamdani was a rapper. I'm not joking. That was his rap name, Mr. Cardamom, before he became a state legislator in the state of New York. Oh, man. How have we gotten from, we hold these truths to be self-evident, to where we nominate an Islamist communist who wants to globalize the Intifada? And yesterday somebody said that I didn't mention he was a Muslim. I didn't think I had to explain that if you had somebody saying let's globalize the Intifada, but I thought I said it, but I didn't. As you're making your way to your full-time jobs, guys, this is why Jesus commanded us to worship him, to love him with our heart, soul, minds, and strength. Mind cultivation is central to disciple making. We have, frankly, the world's fulcrum of capitalism in the state of New York, yet they are literally one step away from electing a communist for mayor. And I don't mean that. I said socialist yesterday. You know, there's not a lot of difference between the two. If you feel more comfortable, I'll say socialist. But it's amazing that that is the case. How does this happen? Sin grows as a man travels, one step at a time. We must be about our Father's business. Outcome cultivation is the order of the day. What goes on in our houses is far more important than what's going on in the White House. For too long, we've had too many people gazing in the sky at what's happening over there, not recognizing right around our own dinner tables and in our own communities and in our own neighborhoods that hearts and minds are being led away. It's amazing, man. It's amazing that we've gotten to this place. Benjamin Franklin's words, when he was asked leaving Independence Hall, what have you wrought, O Benjamin, following the Constitutional Convention in 1787? And his response is, a republic if you can keep it. Many people don't want to recognize the fact, but there are efforts and agendas and people who are working overtime to fundamentally transform the United States of America. But before we get into that, to the Word of God, we go Habakkuk chapter 1. Habakkuk chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. By way of reminder, Habakkuk ministered prophetically to the southern kingdom of Judah. His book dates to about 612 BC, shortly before the Babylonian siege and ultimate conquest under Nebuchadnezzar transpires. Habakkuk is a righteous prophet who is a contemporary of Jeremiah and others, and he is introduced to us in the biblical narrative lamenting the state of his nation. And in many ways, man, I resonate with him. His book includes an exchange, a pretty drawn out exchange between him and Yahweh, but the very beginning of the book is prescient, in my view, as to where we are right now. Habakkuk chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. And this is Habakkuk speaking, the oracle that Habakkuk the prophet saw. O Lord, how long shall I cry for help and you will not hear? Or cry to you violence and you will not save? Why do you make me see iniquity? And then some translations say, and make me look on wickedness. Make me to look on wickedness, or to look at wrong. Destruction and violence are before me. Strife and contention arise. So the law is paralyzed, and justice never goes forth. For the wicked surround the righteous. So justice goes forth perverted. Now, those first four verses includes Habakkuk's observation as to what's transpiring in Judah, as he is witnessing the rapidly increasing downward spiral and descent into utter rebellion, chaos, and overwhelming wickedness in Judah, whose name means praise. This is the same nation that wouldn't heed Jeremiah's warnings. He's known, Jeremiah that is, as the weeping prophet because he lamented so much. So the book of Lamentations is written by Jeremiah because most of his fellow countrymen would not listen to him. They would not listen to him, even when Nebuchadnezzar showed up. And he was saying, man, this is God's judgment. They were telling Jeremiah, God is for us. If God is for us, who could be against us? We're going to put the whoop on Nebuchadnezzar. I'm paraphrasing and translating into modern vernacular. We'll put the whoop on Nebuchadnezzar. Don't you know our history? Rah, 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 rah. I was like, there's one thing, though. Don't you realize in the history that God has no obligation to sustain rebels? In Habakkuk's book, later on in chapter 2, when he talks about writing the vision and making it plain, he's not saying that there's like some magic pixie dust by putting something down on parchment or on a scroll or anything. He's saying, document this that I'm telling you beforehand so that when what I'm saying will happen, when it happens, the ones to whom it happens, they'll understand what's happening so that the reader may be able to run with what I've already shown you beforehand. But Habakkuk cried out, why do you make me to see this wickedness, God? Why do you make me to see the wickedness? Destruction and violence are before me. Strife and contention arise. So the law is paralyzed. And justice never goes forth, for the wicked surround the righteous. I've explained numerous times, guys, that the prevalence of lawlessness, especially from the places that we expect justice to descend from, is not the root, it's the fruit. It's the fruit of a society that has long beforehand rejected truth. Truth has fallen in the streets. So the perversion of justice is an inevitable consequence of truth falling in the streets. Truth falling in the streets is why we're having public debates in the highest, in the courts of our highest echelon as to whether or not a little boy is in fact a little boy. Whether a little girl is in fact a little girl. We have a nation where in my lifetime, I was alive when I heard Ronald Reagan say, "Mr. Gorbachev, tear down that wall." And now we have people, we've had the experience with Bernie Sanders, where you have Americans voting for a socialist. And you have the repeat of it now. I'm going to expound on this in the next segment. But we've gone from 9/11 to New York City Democrats electing Zora Mamdani. That in the same week that President Trump is announcing a ceasefire between Israel and the Islamist regime in Tehran. A lot of people don't remember. There was an Iran before the Ayatollahs. Yet in the exact same week, New York Democrats saying, "Oh, really? You going to bust them bunkers? How about a Zoran Mamdani?" Guys, this is where we are. Like, you literally, and I'm not saying this as a pejorative, I'm saying this because this is accurate. Zora Mamdani is to the left of AOC. I'm not joking. And Democrats say, "Yeah, we want some of that in New York City." Are New York City Democrats indicative of Democrats all over the country? And I'm saying Democrats because it was a Democrat primary in New York City. All right. So the general election is still yet to come. Eric Adams decided to no longer run as a Democrat and is running as an independent. And Andrew Cuomo, who, I mean, let's just be real, he's no darling candidate himself. "Mr. Cuomo, bring your grandmother over here so we can make sure she never..." Leave that alone. He would bring COVID-positive elderly patients into nursing homes. And his groping incidences and all these kind of things. So we can't ignore the fact that you have this, you know, Mamdani fellow in the backdrop that his chief Democrat rival was Andrew Cuomo. But is this where we are? These are the kind of national conditions that had Habakkuk crying out, man. I'm going to share a story later where you have the New York Times attacking, you know, the current Secretary of Transportation. But we're all supposed to wink and nod and act like it's normal for Pete Buttigieg, a grown man, to talk about he's married to a man and they're having children. No, they're not having children. They're renting somebody else's womb. I thought slavery was a bad thing. Not unless you want homosexual men to be able to have children, and then they can make slaves out of some woman to rent her uterus. What has bewitched us, man? What has bewitched us? We as a society have gotten to the place where significant segments of our society are completely comfortable saying, yeah, children should be deprived of their father or their mother. It's wild, man. This is wild. And this is unfolding all before our very eyes. This is a moment to pause and reflect and then adjust. Because it's happening. Guys, it's happening. New York City may be an extreme example of it, but the same type of insanity is percolating all throughout the country at various varying levels and varying degrees, which is why we must be vigilant. We must be vigilant. But more than just a general notion of vigilance, we must be committed to executing the King's commission. Because the reality is eternity hangs in the balance, and the quality or lack thereof in our nation will be impacted by the result of the critical mass of people in our nation who will enjoy eternal life. If you ever had any questions about it, guys, we are living in Bible days right now. More when we come back from this break.
Shining light into the darkness. This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner. Abraham Hamilton III here. You know, I know it makes people uncomfortable, but you have to talk about the reality of what Islamists believe. You have to, you know. And you have this weird coalescing in our country where you literally have places like Iran and others that are executing, you know, women who dare not comply with burqa requirements, let alone homosexuals. And then you have the conundrum in our country where you have like gays for Palestine. Like this is absurd. This is absurd. Yet in our nation, they're working together because their objectives are the same in terms of their scorn for the constitutional republic that is America and the affinity that many Americans, no, not just the affinity, and the fact that many Americans still today are Christ followers. So we go from, and I remember this, I was in college when this happened, September 11th, 2001. I was on my way leaving the dorm, and I see, you know, what's going on in the news. Yet we go from there to where we have a guy whose rap name, and y'all think I'm joking, I'm not, is Mr. Cardamom, who put out rap songs glorifying the five people who are head of the Holy Land Foundation who were tried in federal court and sentenced for funding Hamas. You heard me right. He makes a song praising these guys. Mr. Cardamom. That would be Democrat nominee for the New York City mayor, Zoran Mamdani. He's praising the guys who were convicted for funneling millions of dollars to Hamas. Perhaps that's why when October 7th, 2023 transpires, Zoran Mamdani has lots of condemnation for Israel. You heard that right. For Israel. Not a peep to say in condemnation towards Hamas. No, in fact, he supports the notion of globalize the intifada. If you've been paying attention, you know that the calls for the globalization of the intifada is a call for jihad around the world. Yet this is who New York City Democrats want to be mayor? I mean, you literally cannot make this up that the same week that the ceasefire between Israel and the Islamist regime in Iran is called, New York City Democrats go for Zoran Mamdani. Now you have some of the technical realities that Andrew Cuomo was a horrible candidate, no doubt. You also have the technical realities, and I won't get into all the nuts and bolts here, but for some reason, New Yorkers like to have, or I don't know if they like it, but they have ranked choice voting. You have that phenomenon there. But I really believe this is a moment to pause and reflect and re-engage. Because no matter who is in the Oval Office, our nation tends to continue to go in the same direction. Now, I know, and I can hear people saying, Abe, that's just New York City. That's not all across the country. I get that. But do you see this type of movement increasing or do you see it decreasing? Where do many of our young people stand? When you see, okay, I'm starting to notice, you look at the demographic breakdown, that it's wealthy, largely regressive, also known as liberal, women who are supporting Zora Mamdani. Who was it that was the major coalition for She Who Shall Never Be President, the remix? Was that just in New York City? When October 7th breaks out, what is happening on America's Ivy League campuses? You seeing this pattern that's happening? What I'm saying is, it's happening far too often and in far too many places. Remember the conversation we had? Now look at this connection. Zora Mamdani, Mr. Cardamom, the rapper back in his MC days, he writes a song praising the five leaders of the Holy Land Foundation who were convicted in federal court for funding Hamas. Guess where they were? In Texas. Somebody want to remind me, where's that place that they're carving out acres to build a Muslim city? Where? Oh, yeah, that's in Texas. Huh.
Epic City.
Huh. Epic City. That's not in New York City. Guys, what I'm saying, and you don't have to be like a student of politics. Just pay attention to history. There was an Iran before the regime of the Ayatollahs. What was Iran before? What was going on in Iran before? I am greatly concerned. Greatly concerned that in many ways that our society has taken our eyes off of the ball and we have not given appropriate attention to the cultivation of the hearts and the minds of our fellow citizens. Why is it that we have so many young people that are so easily duped by the, well, don't you want government-owned grocery stores? No! Government-owned grocery stores where there is no profit motive. Well, how are you going to provide the produce? Capitalism is by no means perfect, but it's the best thing and the best way to interact with fallen mankind. You know why? Because it incentivizes both parties pursuing their best interest. I have widgets. I produce them well because I want to demand top dollar for my widgets. Bobby just so happens to need widgets. In our interaction, nobody loses. Bobby wins because he gets widgets. I get compensated for the value of my services and expertise and the excellence of my product. This concept that somebody has to lose is a Marxist concept. This is why they say things like, pay your fair share of taxes. The premise of the statement is flawed. Why? Because what is assumed in the statement? Oh, your money is my money. So if you don't pay, you're not paying your fair share. Fair according to whose standards? Yours? And just pay attention to the consistent socialist communist creed is
communism has never been really tried.
Why? Because everywhere it has been tried, it has failed miserably and created nothing but death, poverty, and destruction. Everywhere. Yet we have, and I'm saying this again, not as a pejorative, but in the Marxist articulation of it, we have useful idiots. I shared on my social media account a New York City voter, a young woman. Do you believe in socialism? No, let me go back. Who did you vote for? I voted for Mamdani. Do you believe in socialism? No. Why not? Socialism doesn't work. But you voted for Mamdani.
Cole.
Mm-hmm.
You stupid.
On point. And timely. Guys, we need to we need to consider what's happening here, guys. And we need to have an honest conversation. Do the New York City mayoral primary Democrat voters reflect Democrats across our country? I know there are exceptions. You know, that's why we're always shocked when you hear like a Bill Maher, who is still a regressive. He's just not as regressive as the mainstream Democrat Party today. The country is shocked when you hear John Fetterman saying something different, Senator Fetterman saying something different, because the mainstream of the Democrat Party today. What percentage of our population does it represent? Guys, we need to consider this. You know, I'm not a regressive, but I have children. What kind of world will my children be adults in? I mean, we can go down a whole list. Anti-Semitic, globalized intifada, cheering on Hamas, $30 minimum wage, free buses, free childcare, city-owned grocery stores, the full panoply, taxpayer-funded chemical castrations and gender mutilation for children. You go down the whole list. And this is where they are. Guys, I've heard them say, well, you haven't really seen an accurate picture of, you know, communism. I heard one guy saying, well, the only true picture of communism was early USSR. Okay, well, why is it only early USSR? If it's such a great system, why it didn't work longer? The fundamental flaw, and again, people don't want to deal with this, the fundamental flaw of socialist communist thought is it rejects the biblical teaching concerning mankind's depravity. The theological underpinning for a communist socialist worldview is an anti-Christ theology. It's the truth, man. This should be a wake-up call. This is not a moment for, you know, constitutionalists and non-regressives to say, whoo, man, look, can't believe those people are so whacked out. These are people in our fellow country. I told you guys before, in my hometown of New Orleans, Louisiana, there has never been anything but Democrat politicians. Mayors, city council members. I remember trying to help a Christian who I knew was running for city council and was knocking on doors, and to have people unanimously say, if they're not Democrats, I don't even consider them. How many other cities are the exact same way? The largest metropolitan areas in our countries are the exact same way. The main thrust of this Marxist worldview, man, is anti-Christ, and guess what replaces divinity? Government. Government. And not just any government, but an ever-expanding federal, national, centralized government that dictates everything to everyone. We have to understand, guys, there's a difference between God blessing us with a reprieve. You understand what I'm telling you? That God gave us a breath, an opportunity to breathe by sparing us from She Who Shall Never Be President, the remix. But we must not confuse a reprieve with the abundant outpouring of God's favor, because they're not the same. When God gives us a reprieve, He's giving us a, we got to get to work. It's not a time to, ha, 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 are you tired of winning yet? I'm not tired of winning. We're winning so well, we're doing so well. Guys, we are coming from behind the eight ball. You understand what I'm telling you? We literally have professionals, medical professionals, and federal judges that are debating whether or not a little boy is a little boy. Do you understand how insane that is? Do you understand? Guys, we are having conversations about fundamental features of humanity that have been known facts for millennia. But now we have the luxury and the opportunity and the time because we don't recognize the insidious effort that is demonically inspired to cause us to invite our own implosion. And we have to get out of this idea where it's, you know, political gangbanging. It's reds and blues. Guys, people say this is a contest for civilization. The Bible is real. When we as humankind set ourselves to refuse to retain God as we are professing to be advancing societally, we become futile in our reasoning. And our foolish hearts become darkened. That's what we're living in. We're living in the pinnacle. It's amazing how this is not seen. We're living in the pinnacle of third wave feminism that results in women presenting themselves as if serial promiscuity is liberating. When we know how God made women and how God made men, but we let the doctrines of demons societally to get us to the place where many of our younger people are saying, I'm a liberated woman. What's the evidence of your liberation? That I could be serially promiscuous. And I don't care what they say. They lie when they say they can just have casual sex and be not impacted by it. That's a lie. I have a mother. I have sisters. I know women. I live with women. I have a wife. I have eyes. I have a brain. I can read. And at the exact same time, you have all of these studies. Why are young single women so unhappy? Why are all these liberal women so unhappy? Why is there such anger when they want to shout your abortions and all of these things? Because we're working against God. You understand what I'm telling you? We're not just having conversations about political discourse. We are working against God. We will never be able to enjoy the fullness of what God has for us if we set ourselves to live in rebellion. So we got women that are hell-bent on killing their own offspring. We have men with arrested development that don't want to do anything but play video games and have man buns and wear skinny pants and say that we're advancing as a society. Grown folks carrying puppies in the airport. This is my fur baby. That ain't your baby. It's a dog. You can love your dog, but your dog is not a child. But we say these things to make ourselves feel better because of the ache in the heart and the ache in the souls.
The Hamilton Quarter podcast and one-minute commentaries are available at AFR.net. Back to the Hamilton Quarter on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner. Abraham Hamilton III here. I did not intend to go on that long with that. And what? I'm not taking anything back. Don't think that at all. But I want to make sure everybody understands I'm not trying to condemn anybody or to insult anybody either. But when you have this phenomenon, where you have, you know, scores of women who want to articulate this is their fur baby, what they're expressing is that there's a nurturing desire that they have. There's a nurturing desire that they have, and it's a God-given desire. It's a good desire. But because our society is so backwards, often, just to keep it 100%, and this is not to blame women or men, but the reality is we live in a sexually promiscuous society. So we have scores of people that are engaging in physical intimacy that God designed to be confined to the marital covenant between a husband and his wife. But we have the engagement in frequent physical intimacy, but with no commitment. With no commitment. So you have this perversion of what God meant to be holy. And the inevitable consequences of this physical intimacy, which is the bearing of offspring, that we have these women who have the desire to nurture, but they don't have babies to nurture. Oftentimes, many of these same women have killed their own children under the guise of women's liberation. I have a right to an abortion. And the very thing that God has given to aid us as a civilization to move more fully into selfless living, because Jesus said, greater love has no man than this, that he laid down his life. When you are a husband and a father, you have a daily opportunity to display what the scripture describes as a pinnacle expression of love by living for someone else. When you are a mother, you have the opportunity daily to engage in what the scripture describes as a pinnacle expression of love. But our society has robbed generations of Americans of that. So we have the frequent promiscuous engagement without the commitment and without the opportunity to nurture. And it results, well, this is my fur baby. I'm grateful for people who have pets and love their pets. But keep it real, that's your pet. It's not a human being. It's a child. I mean, it's not a child. It's a dog. Or a cat or whatever the pet may be. And this is happening all around us. It's almost like the emperor with no clothes. It's happening all around us, but it's not politically or society correct to say anything about it. So we just do it, and we have TSA, but we're going to let dogs on planes, and we're going to let dogs in restaurants. I'm sorry, but that's nasty. I don't want a dog in my face when I'm trying to eat food. I've had dogs. I know what they do. Again, I'm not trying to insult anybody, but I want us to stand back and stop and look at what's really happening. We have little girls that are being taught that they have to experience heartbreak. I search the scriptures. I don't see that. We have young men that are being trained and cultivated to say that your road to finding yourself, you leave a trail of broken hearts in your wake. I search the scriptures. I don't see that. So if the scriptures doesn't say it, why do we accept it? Because we allow frequency of occurrences to define what's normal for us. And then you have a story like this. And I'm inviting Reed Ritter to weigh in on this. I told him about it beforehand. This is what happens, guys, when we try to dethrone God. Knock God off the throne. Put mankind right on top. So you have the New York Times. And you could put up the screenshot of the story, Marty. The New York Times has this writer. Let me find. Carolyn Kitchener. And I'm sharing this story just because it's indicative of the time that we're living in. She writes an exhaustive smear piece on President Trump's Secretary of Transportation. And she's zeroing in the spotlight. And the New York Times published this in their print magazine, in their print newspaper and online. What did they find from Secretary Sean Duffy is his name. Secretary Sean Duffy is his name. You're embroiled in some scandal? No. Misappropriating funds? No. What's the scandal? Oh, he happens to be married to his wife and they have 9 children. That's it. End of it. That's it. Carolyn Kitchener, who before she sought to smear people as a family writer for the New York Times, she worked as a self-described abortion writer at the Washington Post. Her entire screed went on to complain because Sean Duffy apparently in the 90s, I don't know, I didn't watch these shows, was on MTV's, one of the MTV shows, what, Real World or something like that? Yeah, Real World. He was on MTV, and he was a playboy apparently then. And during his time on MTV, he met his now wife in one of the seasons, and he was promiscuous and all of that. And something amazing happened to him to where he jettisoned those sin-filled, childish ways, married the wife of his youth, and they had children. And they have 9 children. That's it. Caroline Kitchener seemed particularly disturbed that Secretary Sean Duffy and his wife, Mrs. Duffy, have the audacity because they believe that them being married together and having children makes them have happy and fulfilled lives, lives that they wouldn't enjoy if they were living unmarried, promiscuous lifestyles. That seemed to be the true core of her objection to Mr. Duffy and his family. I mean, she goes on and on. And he always puts his children in his ass. He was a congressman and he would put his children in his campaign literature. And his wife, who happens to be a host on the Fox News channel, they would be on Fox and Friends with their family making pancakes. Guys, I'm not kidding. We could put the link to the New York Times story in the show notes. That's the whole objection. That's what you're mad at? That's what bothers you? The thing that's problematic. She waxed that she talked to nearly a dozen people who knew Secretary Duffy privately, and not one of them had anything to say about him. In fact, they describe him as an authentic, Christ-following family man. That's it. So you have this, oh, by the way, she also describes herself as a cat lady, right?
That's right.
Not my words. That's what she described herself as, a cat lady. The author of this piece. Now, I'm highlighting this and I'm pairing this with the Mamdani story because, guys, our society is sin sick. And I'm communicating with this urgency because I don't want us to misconstrue a reprieve, misunderstand that God has given us a reprieve. Everything ain't sweet, guys. Everything is not great. Everything is not great. We have drifted and rebelled our way into the place where we are. I explained before that the cobblestone road toward the normalization and the Obergefell Supreme Court decision concerning same-sex marriage follows generations of heterosexual violations of God's standards. And that being normalized and accepted in our culture. We have to make a turn. It would be naive for us to think that what has happened in other nations cannot happen here. That is a naive position. Now, I wanted Reed to weigh in here because Reed, it's a young man going into his sophomore year in college this year. Not yet married. Don't put him on the camera. Don't put him on the camera because, you know, hey, one time we did that with Jeff. I think my inbox is still full. J-Mac ain't married, But I wanted to ask you because I've talked to younger people and because of things that are happening, some people have expressed, younger and older, that they're afraid to build a family. They're afraid to do these other things because of society. When you see stories like this and you see what's happening in our country, what is your perception? Are you concerned about moving forward as God is leading you and founding a family as a husband and ultimately, hopefully, Lord willing, as a father?
Am I concerned? Heck no, man. I think, man, thinking about that, realizing I've heard it too much from you to not take it to heart by now, the primacy that God puts on a family is eternal in its impact. And realizing that God, in the very beginning, ordained the family to do his work, to do his work. And that's what I want to do. So am I concerned? I'm not. I believe 100% that God will equip me to lead a family, provided that that's his will. Leading up to that, that he'll provide grace every day to lead me to becoming the man that I need to become to take on that role, starting right now and moving forward in the next few years, you know. So absolutely not. I believe God's word, and I know that he equips his people for what he calls them to in every situation in life.
Amen. It's encouraging for me to even hear that because God calls his people to be peculiar. So we should never take our marching orders from the world, you know, but we are in the world and we have to actively resist being conformed to the prevalent notions around us. So when you hear or when you read, I mean, that wasn't an audio story, but when you hear people like this Kitchener reporter lamenting the way that Secretary Duffy centralizes his family and builds his life. I mean, even covered a part of the story that he was a congressman before he became transportation secretary, and one of his children had Down syndrome. So he resigned from Congress so that he could serve his family. Yet this writer is like, he resigned from Congress. So when his daughter got medical complications. When you consider the reality of what you know from Scripture, what God has already done in your own life, Do you have any doubt in the face of, and I already know the answer to this question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. In the face of all that is transpiring and unfolding around us, do you think that for some reason, in some way, that God will not be God to you and your generation as he has been God throughout all of human history?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. God's faithfulness, man, goes back to the very beginning of Scripture, all throughout the centuries. And now I hear people talk about it in their lives. And growing up, I think it was challenging not having real life experience walking the Christian walk. And because I definitely don't have it close to perfect now, but I think every day now I'm seeking honor the Lord and feel his grace guiding me, man. And so heck no. Wait, I'm trying to think back. Remind me of your question.
Just, I mean, and you basically
start thinking back to history, man. God's faithful.
Amen. Amen. God is faithful. And it's just another indication. And I know this audience is not going to allow people like this Caroline Kitchener lady to cause them to be thrown off or anything like that. But we don't take our marching orders from the world. You know, the sad reality is that we have lots of people that are withering within the consequences of a society gone run amok, but unwilling or unable to diagnose the cause. And the simple reality is that, man, God didn't call us to perfection, as that word is commonly understood. He calls us to faithfulness. And that faithfulness includes making the adjustments when we recognize, oh, man, we misstepped here. We made this adjustment here. And so having that privilege of being a believer and be armed with the truth of God's word and the leading and guiding of the Spirit of God, that he enables us to step. And we don't have to consider making this a huge, you know, Herculean effort. Man, we take one step at a time, one foot in front of the other. We don't have to try to project downstream, you know, 100 yards down the field. Man, that's one step at a time. To use a football analogy, let's just make a good move on the first down. First down, we're trying to get more than four yards or more. We're not trying to get it all in one shot. And by having that faithful investment step by step, man, you look back, you look up where the diligence over time, it unfolds as a lifestyle. And so the urgency of the moment is simply for us to stand up and realize, whoa, in a short amount of time, relatively short amount of time, we've gone from 9/11 to Mr. Cardamom as a Democrat nominee for New York City mayor. That's a problem. Pause, reflect, consider, pray, and engage. According to a recent study of hundreds of post-abortive women, 60% reported that they would have preferred to give birth if they had received more support from others or had more financial security. And that's where Preborn steps in. Preborn is there for women in their darkest hour, deciding between the life and death of their precious child. You see, the reality is women are being pressured to make this fatal decision and are being told that their babies are just a clump of cells. Preborn welcomes women with God's love and introduces them to the beautiful life growing inside of them, which doubles their baby's chance at life. When you support Preborn, you not only support women, you empower them. Your donation of $28 will help a woman to make a choice that she won't have to regret for the rest of her life and gives her the ultimate blessing, life. Your love can save a life. Just dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby. Or visit preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.